In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What is truth? We are all familiar with Pontius Pilate's famous question as the Jews brought Jesus of Nazareth to him to be sentenced to death. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? Truth is not chiefly about knowing what is right and wrong, although it includes that. It is not chiefly about having knowledge of the universe, how things work, although it includes that. It is not chiefly about knowing the laws of God and man so that one can win an argument, although sometimes it does include that, as we'll talk later about this gospel for today. What is truth? Truth is chiefly about a person. Jesus Christ is truth. He is truth because he is the Son of God. He is the Creator. He is the one through whom all things were made. The one who gives meaning, purpose, and understanding to life. Now, of course, the vast majority of people don't believe that, but it doesn't change the truth. Conversely, one could believe that the moon is a round ball of green cheese, but such a belief wouldn't make it true. But there is truth, and Jesus is truth. The Son of God is truth because he entered into his fallen creation to save it from the crippling effects of sin and to save it from eternal destruction. Jesus is truth because he loved not himself, but the Father who sent him to redeem this fallen world. That's substantive truth, which orders our lives as Christians, which gives meaning and purpose and understanding to all of existence. And it is the truth of Jesus Christ, that we then confess and offer to the world, because apart from this truth, the world ends in despair and hopelessness. In our gospel for today, it begins at a strange kind of point. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. It makes it clear that Jesus outdueled the Sadducees, and then in what happens, he's about to outduel the Pharisees as well. Today's gospel begins with that reference to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had no love for the Sadducees now enter into the discussion. In the case of the Sadducees, which I always say to the kids, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection or life after death. Jesus had silenced them by invoking the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You see, to address their disbelief of the resurrection, if there is no resurrection, then the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have ceased to exist, are dead and buried. They are no more. But God's word clearly teaches the resurrection of the dead by the mere assertion that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the patriarchs, and he's not the God of dead people, but of living people. Jesus spoke the truth. And the Sadducees were silenced. They had no answer. Now the Pharisees, who, as I said, had no love for the Sadducees, asked Jesus about the law. What is the greatest commandment? They wanted to trap Jesus in a lie, in a contradiction concerning the truth of God's word. But actually, their question was easy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's a passage that is found in numerous places in the Old Testament. And it is cited as the greatest commandment, and Jesus speaks it to them. This is the great commandment. And the second is like it, also found in numerous places in the Old Testament. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ironically, Jesus gave them the answer that they were looking for. There was no opportunity to trap him in these words. He spoke the truth. 2 + 2 = 4. Love for God and love for the neighbor is the essence of the law. That's the truth. And Jesus spoke the truth. But then Jesus added this statement. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, what does that mean? It means that love is the essence and entire message of the Holy Scriptures. And it means that the essence of love, which the Scriptures proclaim, is fulfilled in Christ. That is the truth. It is the truth that the Pharisees could not understand, even though in Jesus' ministry they saw it on display every moment of every day in his preaching, in his teaching, in his reaching out to the lepers and healing the sick and raising the dead. It is the truth that the Pharisees could not understand, even though they knew what the law demanded. For them, love was something that they were capable of. And for them, love was how a person got for themselves what they wanted from God and other people. It is as if they would say, if I love God, then I can get God to do for me what I want and to give me the things that I desire. Isn't that, after all, the purpose for loving God? To sort of manipulate him like a genie in the bottle. And if I love my neighbor, why, I can control him as well. And he will do me favors, and if I love him, he will get me out of a jam. Is that what love is? To conduct yourself in such a manner that you can manipulate God or other people to serve you and your own desires and interests, is that really what love is? Not at all. So what is love? What is truth? What is love? Or more precisely, what is it to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It is very simply to desire God with every fiber of your being, to desire him exclusively. It is to cling to him. It is to trust in him even if all other things are taken from you. Happiness, pleasure, joy, baseball, Green Bay Packers football. It is to want to be in communion with Him. Even if you are stripped of every pleasure of life or every source of comfort, it is to hold fast to God because He is God, the only source of life and all things. It is to trust in Him, even if you suffer the loss of everything. That's love for God with all one's heart, not a partial aspect of one's heart, but with all one's heart and mind and strength. Who can do this? Only Christ. That is the truth. Only Christ. Jesus embodied the truth of His own words spoken elsewhere. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? To keep one's soul is to love God with all one's heart and soul and mind and strength. To put it another way, what do I have if I do not have God? I have nothing. Here again, the world doesn't believe that. The world thinks of God and one's relationship to Him, again, in idolatrous fashion. If I'm going to worship God, then I expect Him to ante up to what I want. And if He doesn't, what's the purpose of believing in Him? But this understanding of the only thing that matters is God is radical. And it is why so many hate and persecute the church. But this is the truth about love for God. And the Pharisees, who are classic manipulators by the works of the law, it's what they did not understand. Nor does our flesh. And we fight against it. What is it to love one's neighbor as oneself? What is the truth about that love? Very simply, it is to sacrifice yourself so that another might live. And to do so without counting the cost, you know, I hope you realize what I'm doing for you, this great sacrifice that I'm making. No, it is to deny yourself for the benefit of the neighbor. Here again, who can do this? Only Christ. This is why Jesus said to the Pharisees, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The entirety of the Old Testament scriptures, the law and the prophets, are fulfilled in love for God and love for the neighbor. You and I were created for this love. But the fall into sin made such love for God and the neighbor impossible for us to achieve apart from Christ. Only in Christ do we see love that the law demands. The Catechism asks, what motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sin? And the Catechism's simple answer is profound. His great love for His Father and for me and other sinners, as it is written throughout the entirety of the scriptures. Truth and love come together in Christ. So our third and final question, who is Christ? And I speak words now from the Little Catechism's explanation to the second article, which should be among the most important words for us as Christians. And sometimes we think, yeah, okay, I know that. Let's move on to something else. And certainly the world does not accept these words. But for us, these words are truth. and these words embody love. Who is Christ? He is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. We should learn to love those words. He is David's son, born according to the flesh, and he is David's Lord, begotten of the Father from eternity. Perfect God and perfect man. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because he loved the Father with all his heart, and because he loved us in place of himself, so that we might live. That's why we say such things as, only Christ gives meaning and purpose and direction to life. Jesus did not engage the Sadducees and the Pharisees in a debate to win an argument. He engaged them in a debate to win their souls to the truth of God's love in the redemption of the world. And that's very important. What God called Israel to in our Old Testament reading, Jesus fulfilled. Quote, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for your good. Jesus loved for your good. That is the essence of the law and the essence of the gospel. And to be a Christian is above all else to have a love affair with him. So St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in today's epistle, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, so that you come short in no gift. You see how Paul speaks of being a Christian as a relationship of faith and trust in Christ, who is what we are not, that through faith in him we receive what he is. Paul's words in today's epistle describe how Christ's love for his Father and for us in fulfillment of the law is at the heart of the grace of God. We receive his grace, the gift of his undeserved love, when he forgives our sin. To be freely forgiven by God through no act of your own and entirely for Jesus' sake is God's greatest gift to you. It is through this gift of God's love from him, who is love, that he makes a beginning of producing his love in us for one another. Hear. Receive. Eat. Drink. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.